Nice. Well, look, we've got by my records, we're into the sixth week of things, and so we got a number of things we want to cover. And but before I do, I want to find out if there's any new discoveries, anything that's on your mind that I need to to address first. So go ahead and let me have it.
For me, nothing on my mind really.
Okay.
I'm open-minded today.
Okay. All right. Good. How about you, Mario?
So, I was just reviewing, the assignment for this week, and I've segmented about 50 households so far that are going to be part of the supernova.
Okay.
And I've been going through the list and letting some of them know.
Okay.
And then the ones that I've just recently introduced to, saying, hey, here's your option. We can go this route, have been pretty excited. So it seems to be catching on.
Okay.
It's
Good.
just, I think the challenge still is putting the pieces together for the staff.
Right. Okay. I'm going to show you a collaborative model today, but so that you get an idea, I still want to drive home the big picture. So, we can certainly, I'm going to actually make a note so that we can really spend some time talk about the staff. So hold on one second. Collaboration.
The staff's always been an issue, like for us, but now that we're transitioning the way we look at our clients, I think
Yeah.
it's even a it's more of a priority now.
Yeah, I can. Yeah, I definitely get it. Okay, Michael, anything on your mind?
No. I would probably concur with a little bit what Mario said. I mean, I had taken down the list of mine, which is in the 90s so far. Right now, I'm going to keep seeing if I can refine it a little bit more. I mean, I've spoken to a few people about it, and it seems like they like the model.
Okay.
I've not done a ton of implementing yet, as the end of the year is, as
Yeah, I
I know
know.
when we got started, is just a crazy time. And between annual reviews with every, advisor and manager and stuff, it takes up a lot of time.
I
So
totally get it.
that's been my biggest, I guess, challenge right now. Trying to do as much as I can to get ready for January with implementing this, but
Right.
it has been a little bit slow.
Well, remember, look, there's not an off season in your business. You're trying to finish up a year
Yep.
strategically, and you're trying to get another one cranked up. So, I fully understand.
Yep.
Lenny, why don't you give me an update?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the clients that I've spoken to are very excited for it.
Okay.
I think the part where I'm struggling a little bit, and I'm not sure what else, is randomly I'm getting like calls or emails saying, hey, I'd like to meet with you. Mario.
Right.
And from there, when I meet with them, I bring another advisor on because I'm not sure of the scenario, and then realizing, hey, this isn't an A client for me. And how we transition that, even though when I talk to them, I say, here are my minimums, they go, like, oh, I can get to that. And then when we meet, I'm like, that's like in 20 years. So just
Right.
how to hand those off better and to make sure we're still maintaining that level of service, and relationships, without being rude, I think is.
Because what ends up happening is if your target client establishes your brand. If you keep lowering the expectation, you're going to be billing yourself out at $50 an hour. And that's not what you want to do. So it's really, really a challenge to kind of stay at that level and move those relationships, further down. Eventually, you're going to want the whole staff to be kind of thinking that way, not that they, I mean, every client should have a place to go. And that's why so many firms have developed, you know, client segments. And they start off with, for example, institutional middle markets, which is 300 million and above. Then they have private wealth, which is 25 million is the cutoff. The private client business, you know, goes up to, you know, the $25 million level. And then you have the call center activities, which is everybody that is less than 250,000. So, you know, you have to, you know, decide based on your business, your market, what your cutoff is going to be. Where is there a point at which you get diminished returns based on the value you provide? I mean, now your value is a concierge service. So the complexity now of what you deliver means that these clients have to be able to kind of pay the freight, is really what we're talking about. Okay, that's where your business becomes very transformative. Okay. One of the things I'm going to do, I'm going to go into my database, go into screen share, and I'm going to show you what this collaborative team model really looks, should be looking like. Now, this is an evolution, okay? We're not there yet. Rome wasn't built in a day, but I just want to give you an idea of what that end game should be looking like. So hang on. Can you see my screen?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So really what this is here, it's a collaborative team model, and it's the force multiplier that I tend to talk about, okay? So what I want you to kind of imagine that you're a SEAL team. There's five of you. You know, you've been dropped into kind of a war zone, and you are observing, and you come up and you see an enemy combatant force of 150 people. Well, this five-person team isn't going to go up against this five-person team. They're going to use the force multiplier, okay? Now, what does that mean? Well, they're going to call in drone strikes. They're going to call in airstrikes, cruise missiles, a quick reaction force, you know, to get in there and do the work, okay? It's the same thing with you in a collaborative model. How do you get leverage? How do you use the force multiplier effect? So over here, we see the F-18. And the F-18 is now going to, once developed, is now going to work with specialty teams that have specialized capabilities in the areas of pensions, nonprofits, business financial services, and some specific niche markets, so that you don't have to be an expert in everything. You bring in the designated expert, you know, in a collaborative way to bring that resource to bear on the client, and you share the business. Okay, so that's the specialty team component.
Curtis.
Yeah.
Where do we fall in this chart? Are we the branch manager, or are we just an F-18? Well,
you're a kind of a combo, because you produce, you have clients, and you're building a team around you. So in a lot of firms, all of them, Merrill Lynch's, UBS, they have producing managers. Some have what we call freestanding managers, which are just in this role. They don't produce. They pretty much lead these efforts, okay? But now you're carrying a dual role. where, you know, you are a manager who's got to plan, lead, organize, control, be the business strategist, you know, for your branch.
Yeah. But so, you also,
yeah, go ahead.
The part for us is, right, we have branch managers, but we don't really get the benefits of the like firm dollars, right? So it's kind of out of our pocket. So like Mike is our pseudo branch manager technically that helps us with funding.
Okay.
But other than that, there's no real like, so I guess then we have to fill that role is what it seems like.
That's right. You've got a combo role. Okay. Then you want to make sure you've got a team that surrounds you. Sometimes these teams are vertical. Sometimes that means when it's a vertical team, it's you, maybe a junior associate and a client associate or practice manager that helps you. Maybe you've added someone that is designated to do the planning on the team. So they have accountability for certain functions on that team. So what I'm doing here is I'm fast forwarding here for a moment. Team is in place, knowing that you're developing it. And this team interfaces with a specialty team. And it may be one of you right here on this video that's a specialist in one of these areas that you interface and work together collaboratively to close business, okay? You know, then you have specialists that you might work with within the company that interface with in the areas of mortgages, lending, insurance. Well, I'll take out insurance because you guys, that's a core competency that you have, and probably estate planning is a core competency. So the things that you don't have core competency require specialist help. Then the team also works with the firm's resource teams in the areas of marketing, compliance, or media relations. And what you do is...
We have most of those. Just out of curiosity, maybe what we can improve upon is media relations. What does that look like?
Okay, so media relations, these are the folks that are engaged in, you know, like if you were to do something on the radio, they help you script it out, help you... you know, fortify your appearance, what to say, how to say it, that type of thing. They may help you with, you know, if you had a television appearance, they make sure you get media trained on how to deliver the equitable platform in front of everybody. Okay.
That's not necessarily local. That could be like from a corporate standpoint.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. And the idea in many firms, they have to have that so that there's always one voice and that voice is consistent. But, you know, you've got, you know, people doing podcasts and any number of things using media to get exposure to their organizations. Okay. Marketing, you know, would certainly be helping you with your website, with your, with maybe video, with, you know, team brochure, that sort of thing, so that you've got the right marketing materials to showcase your talent and your team. So now, we get to the branch manager, and this person supports the other FA teams on significant appointments. They help navigate the firm. They apply the firm resources, which means that you all might be the individuals that know how to navigate the firm. And for the other advisors there, you kind of give them a pathway. Also, this FA team is kind of the quarterback in working with the client's team of professionals, their CPAs, their attorneys, business consultant, so on and so forth. So that's what you do. And if I fast forward, that's kind of how that is going to look. Okay. So,
Curtis, I got a quick question.
Yeah.
So, sorry, let me just go back to the slide. Okay, so on that, chart, is there anything, who would do, is that just for production, or are we talking about, someone who can, recruit other advisors, or is this just, production-based?
Okay, so, yeah, this is delivering to the client. This is totally leverage delivering to the client, okay? And if you're going to get to have face time either with recruits or helping to leverage your other team members, then you're going to have some infrastructure around you in order to do that. So what
this is just the client experience.
Yeah, this is you giving the client experience. It's the collaborative team model.
Got it.
Okay, makes sense. Any questions on this? This is a future. This is an end game, right? Okay. Now I'm going to stop the share. All right. So now let's go into some of the things I wanted to cover today. I wanted to cover this, really want to define the center of influence. And because we're now slowly moving into this client acquisition. So remember, a center of influence is somebody that they like you, they trust you, you like them, they've got the potential to provide personal introductions, and they're willing to do so. Okay? And each person needs to identify 6 centers of influence. Now, who are these people? They might be, I'll give you some examples. They might be presidents or executives within nonprofits. You know, these are people that have got boards of 25 people. They can introduce you to those board members. They're HR professionals, they're CPAs, attorneys, they're business brokers and consultants, okay? Would I make a good COI if you were outside the industry or inside the industry for that matter? You know, you got to ask yourself that question. Would I be the kind of COI you would want to have? So you kind of look at that and you say, well, you know, who's in his network? Well, he's in this fraternity with over 5,000 very prestigious individuals. He with physicians, attorneys, doctors, presidents of universities, president of Ohio State, president of UC Berkeley, the chancellor, CEO. Well, the CEO of Kaiser Permanente, who recently passed away. But what I'm trying to say is you want to get, people that can ultimately give you personal introductions. And you need to identify 6. So how many COIs should you have? So that's our recommendation.
Curtis, I have a quick question. Okay. Lenny and I, well, Lenny for sure, like he did a great job at trying to network with, you know, CPAs, attorneys. And we tried this over the years. And the one thing we always found is we used to give our CPAs and attorneys business, but we felt like it was never reciprocated.
Right.
So that was a problem we had. Is there any ideas on that in terms of like establishing some type of guideline or expectations?
Well, one of the things is your brand has now evolved. They can't see you as purely another insurance agent. They now see you as a holistic team that provides a 1242 concierge service. And so your team has got to meet the CPA's team, and you have to let them know how you work, the type of targeted client you're looking for, and whether or not they feel comfortable making that intro, that personal introduction. And then what do? You go through the VIPSA model. Let me explain my introductions process to get them comfortable giving you the personal introduction. You know, we no longer want, here's a business card, go call this person. Here's a phone number, go call this person. Personal introduction. I drilled this into a person I was coaching last week. And, you know, he had a scenario where a COI wanted to make, give him a name and a phone number to contact. And he had the guts to say, that's not how I work. I work on personal introductions. I'd like to get this potential client on a Zoom call and have you make the handoff and let me explain my introductions process. Okay. So he brought in, you know, $1 million in new assets, has got another $13 million relationship, you know, pending. Okay. So you gotta be steadfast. Now, CPAs and attorneys don't get the idea that they're your best referrals, because they're not. They're your best sources. Okay. It's these other people I talk about. But in no uncertain terms, if you got to ask the question, do you feel comfortable enthusiastically endorsing me? And you should make sure that before you do that, that they've gone through your concierge model. They understand the work that you do and how you differentiate yourself. Okay. Does that make sense? Okay. All right. Did I answer your question? Okay.
Yes, you did. Sorry, I was on mute.
Okay, no worries. So how do you work with a COI and how do you reach them? You need to be an expert in a niche when communicating with your COI. Okay. You know, if it's physicians, you got to understand the pain points that physicians have. Okay. You know, sometimes their margins are being squeezed, they're paying through the nose and liability insurance. Despite that, many of them are thriving. They're building their practices. You know, you need to understand everything you need to know. You need to be reading the journals that they read. Okay. So if I wanted to become an expert in the niche market of financial advisors, what am I reading? I got to read Investment News Daily, Advisor Hub, Trust Advisor, any number of publications associated with with your industry. Okay. So that I'm constantly aware of the pain points and the strategic direction and where that industry is headed. Okay. So that you can talk about those things. You can send somebody an article. Look, I read this article. I thought, and highlight a couple of pieces, send it out. I thought you might have an interest in this, Joe or Mary. Okay.
Curtis.
Yeah.
I know another big one for, you know, all of us on the line is, you know, attracting new advisors and recruiting. Is there any tips maybe when we develop COIs for bringing in, you know, recruits or, you know, other advisors onto our team and building COIs too?
Right.
This?
Well, I think one of the things that you, it's amazing how my phone is ringing this early in the morning with people who I have no idea who they are. it's just amazing. So, you know, what I think we need to do is we haven't had an in-depth recruiting call yet, have we?
No,
not yet.
Okay. It's going to be, I don't know, it might be a bit much to be doing that between now and the end of the year, but I have a whole presentation on recruiting from competitors. But let's suffice it to say is you got to have what I call a five-step process for recruiting. You got to know how to source and identify. You got to have a recruiting story, okay? Now,
gotcha.
And part of that story has to be, if I can't change your life, you know, make you more productive, enhance your business and your capabilities, then you should come to us. And then let me share with you our developmental program and how we differentiate ourselves from everybody else, i.e. Supernova. Okay. And then you're going to, you know, so we're going to walk you through each stage of the process on recruiting. And I don't want to rush that. I want to maybe just spend one session devoted to that. But those are some things that you have to say. What's the vision for your business? Got to be able to articulate that. You know, why should they come? You know, I had a friend at the Equitable. He failed miserably. You know, what's your response? You know, what's your, you know, why should I come to you? I'm happy at New York Life. How are you different? You know, you got to know the strengths and weaknesses of your competition. You know, we used to have a notebook. And in that notebook, it had a complete profile of the firm done by the marketing department, the strengths and weaknesses of every competitive firm. So UBS, Morgan Stanley, Wells Fargo Advisors, you know, I could go in and look at comparisons. I could see payout differentials. I could see where they were from a product standpoint. You know, I could see, everything I needed to know about the competitor. So that was in my arsenal when I went out to recruit. Okay. I know it sounds like I'm throwing a lot at you, but you need to be aware of what are the strengths and weaknesses of the folks in the competition and how you can overpower them.
Agree completely. So I think that would be helpful to just, we'll spend more time on that. So that would be great.
Yeah, that'll be an agenda item. You know, if you want me to cover it on our call next week, I'll do it. but you let me know when you think you're ready for that. Because that's...
Yeah, I think we're all ready for that. I don't know what you guys think.
Okay. Then let's do that next week. Okay? Now, so we're talking about these niche markets and you being an expert in a particular niche and understanding the pain points of these markets that you're out to attract. Okay? You know, what are the pain points for financial advisors trying to grow? It's client acquisition, it's organization, it's segmentation, it's delegation of duties and responsibilities. You know, it's, you know, establishing targets and processes in order to grow. Okay. Those are the pain, key pain points. You need to know that about if you're going after physicians or if you're going after, you know, whomever. You know, what are the impediments to their success and how can you help them? Sometimes it's cash flow management. Sometimes they're too busy. They're real busy. So they don't have time to be thinking about estate planning and their insurance and all of that stuff. You got to say, hey, don't worry. That's what I'm here for. That's what I do. That's what I'll take care of. And some will be embarrassed because they're very smart, but there's a lot of things that they haven't taken care of. Okay. So if you're using the folder system, they get the folder. They're placed on your call schedule and 1242. Now, if you had six COIs and they gave you one name per month, that would be 72 prospects. So if your target assets are a million, you'd be bringing in $72 million or more. Okay, so that's how I want you to think about it. And, you know, if, and then you calculate based on your payouts and your product areas, what's your average velocity rate total return on assets? You know, and the most financial services firms, when you look at the blend, it's about a 0.80, might be a little higher in your business. Okay. All right. So that's a little bit about the COIs. And, so the next thing I want to cover here is the folders. I don't know if you all are going to use the folder system or not, but you can, all your data resides on the computer. Everybody's going digital. But oftentimes you can't take the digital platform with you on a client appointment. When you send out an email, we're meeting in 4 days, goes into the file. When you do an executive summary, this is what we talked about. We're going to do a thorough analysis of your annuities. We're going to look at your insurance because mortality tables have changed. And I might be able to get you more and better coverage at less cost. Those might be next steps. Goes out into the email. This is what we talked about. This is what we discussed. And these are the next steps. Okay. Or if it's portfolio management, that's the thing. You know, we're going to have our asset allocation model is going to be 60% equity, 30% fixed, and 20% in cash or equivalents. And you're going to set that up. And how are we going to do that? You know, what mutual funds are we going to identify in order to make that happen? right. So what I'd like you to think about here is schedule your COI meetings and then begin building your 24-month calendar of educational and marketing topics. And the director of implementation, once the plan is done, is now responsible for holistically looking at that plan and identifying the needs of the client. The things that are urgent, the things that are non-urgent, okay? Now, in your guidebook on page 58, there's an example of topics for conversation. And what you do is the director of implementation is in charge of the 24-month calendar and coordinates the topic of the month. Okay. So these topics might be in January, what is the Equitable's economist saying about the outlook for the economy under COVID and the new administration about to take place? What are their thoughts? You might review beneficiary designations, IRA contributions, tax questions, May long-term care, June mid-year outlook. Half a year has gone by. And then you might follow up on long-term care. But each month, you're batch processing out a topic that makes sense for the client and create this for a 24-month time frame. Look at your arsenal of capabilities and build conversations around each of the topics. Okay. So what are you trying to do here? What's the big picture? You're trying to differentiate yourself from the other folks out there trying to get a share of your client's wallet. So they're going to look at you and they want to know what's different, not what's the same. Okay. So it's all those little things that we're talking about that make the difference. So this next thing is you're training your clients now. You're holding them accountable. They like you. They trust you. They listen to you. So you've got this moral contract that meets certain expectations. So some of the client obligations are they're going to be on time. They're going to be on the call. They're going to reschedule if they can't be on it. They're going to follow up on the agenda items that you send out in your executive summary. They're going to notify you if their economic situation changes. And they will have changes. They will have birth of a child. Somebody is having a baby in this group, I think. Is there?
Yeah, there is.
So now... your advisor's got to say, hey, you're having a baby, and, what are we going to do? Now's the best time to, when that baby's born, we got to have a gifting strategy. We've got to include that baby in the trust. You know, we've got to make some changes, right? Or it could be grandchildren. All right. You want to be updating their plan on an annual basis. Educating them on any changes that might be going on in the marketplace, where you might want to increase exposure, reduce exposure to certain asset allocation. Okay. Let's see here. When there are scheduling issues that come up, and you're trying to schedule a set monthly call, the first issue is like clients that don't live in your geographical area. So, you know, what you have to do is you've got to try to batch process out. You know, if you got one client and they're small and they live in, let's say, Alabama, you know, you're clearly going to get them on a Zoom call. You know, you're not going to go out there and travel unless they're really substantial. Then you're going to schedule a meeting. Okay. So if a client misses an appointment, we suggest that you leave a message that goes like this. I called you for our regularly scheduled second Thursday of the month, 10 a.m. appointment. Sorry you missed it. I know that what's ever taken you away was very important. And I hope it wasn't an emergency. So if you need me, let's reschedule or, you know, get to my practice manager and we'll reschedule the appointment. Otherwise, I will talk to you the following month at the same time. And my practice manager will be sending you an email reminder a week before the call. That way you're educating the client on what's expected of him or her and what's expected of you. So you've got to spend a year training these people. Okay. So, let's see. So if you were a cardiologist or lawyer and you had to cancel that appointment, have one of your associates step in and have some of the calls, you can do the same thing. You know, if you can't make it and be there and you feel comfortable with one of your colleagues stepping in, then have them step in on the call. If not, you'll talk to them the following month. Okay. And if it's a quarterly review, we recommend that you reschedule that. Okay. That is what I wanted to cover today. Any questions, any comments about what we've covered? All this stuff making sense?
Starting to click in.
Starting to click, huh? Okay. All right. So, you know, you see where you're making this whole transformative business practice, right? That's what you're doing. You're transforming. And you're not going to get it. We're going to be together for a while, and you're not going to get everything right away. And some things will be repeated, and we'll repeat them. So make sure you're asking questions. So next time we're going to take a pause and we're going to really spend time going through recruiting. Okay.
Awesome.
All righty.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Kurt.
Thanks, Curtis.
You all take care and have a wonderful weekend.
You too. Curtis. Take care, Curtis.
Bye-bye.